May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text comes from the gospel lesson, Mark chapter 4, especially these words. Jesus said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You may be seated. Who then is this? Who is this guy? Who is this Jesus? Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You may have noticed that I'm kind of interested in these little religious surveys and polls that come out from time to time. And this is a great survey question, right? Who is Jesus? By and large, the vast majority of Americans do believe that Jesus was a real person, a historical figure. In 2015, a Barna survey indicated that 56% of Americans believe that Jesus is God. That's a pretty good number, but only 52% that he was sinless. However, in 2020, a different survey indicated that 52% of Americans, a majority of Americans, believed that Jesus was a good teacher and nothing else. Who then is this? We're all familiar with Jesus' calming of the storm. It's a favorite Sunday school lesson, I imagine. But the reactions of Jesus and his disciples to the events going on around them are really quite striking when you think about it. They're on a boat, pretty normal thing for them to be doing. And then a storm arises, a great windstorm, and starts tossing the boat to and fro and threatens to sink the boat and drown the disciples. What is Jesus doing? Sleeping. He's asleep. I don't know if you've ever been tossed around on a boat in a storm, but sleeping is the last thing you feel like doing. He is sleeping so soundly that the disciples have to wake him up. Who then is this that can sleep through a raging storm? Jesus is not worried, clearly, but the disciples are. They're terrified. Who then is this that can be at peace while other people's lives are in peril? The disciples are not to be commended for their fear, their worry, but who did they turn to for help? They are to be commended for that. Although they must have been wondering, doesn't he care what happens to us? Who then is this that seems indifferent to our needs? They turned to Jesus out of desperation, perhaps, out of disgust that he could sleep while they were dying. They wake him up, hoping he can do something. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" What is it with Jesus' seeming indifference anyway? When you think about it, Jesus didn't have to calm the storm. He had other options available. He could have levitated the boat, I suppose. He could have let them all die and raised them from the dead. There was literally no outcome to this situation that wasn't in Jesus' control. We should note that this wind on the sea, this natural disaster putting lives in peril, is a result of what? Original sin. It's the fallenness of creation, of the introduction of sin into the world. The creation God made now threatens us. It terrifies us. It even kills us, even though it was never meant to be that way. We have droughts, and then we have floods. We have freezing cold, and then burning heat. We have earthquakes. We have typhoons and hurricanes, tornadoes. The disciples were justified in their fear. This was scary. But Jesus was in control. He is still God, despite what the majority of Americans may think. And he can calm with a word. He can calm the storms on the Sea of Galilee, and he does. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Honestly, who are we to question God's concern for us? Who are we to cry out to God, "Don't you care what happens to me? Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" If you've been following along with the Bible in a year that's printed in our newsletters, you know that we recently finished the book of Job, and Job had very similar questions, wondering why God had abandoned him. And in our Old Testament lesson this morning, God gives Job his reply. The Lord says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth out of the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.'" Where was Job? Where were you? Where was I? We weren't yet. This God who made the sea, who shut in its borders, this very sea that the disciples are fearful is going to kill them, the same God is, well, he's in the boat with them. Of course, he who created the seas has them in his hand. Whether he is awake or he is asleep, Jesus is God of the universe. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? He's God in the flesh. That's who he is. Martin Luther had this to say about those times when we often perceive God as indifferent toward us, not caring, seemingly not caring about what happens to us. He says this: "It also happens today that it appears as if the Lord does not see us and had entirely forgotten about us, as he does here in the ship and sleeps. He lets the waves overwhelm the ship. He lets the devil and the world rage against the Christians so that it appears that we will certainly sink and drown. In his own time, however, the Lord awakes and shows his might, rebukes the littleness of our faith, the fear and fright of his disciples, listens to our pitiful cries, and stills the noise of the people." Let's face it. Life can and often does overwhelm us. It could be your job, could be your family, could be your church family, could be a strained relationship or a broken one, could be your health, could be the health of someone you love, it could be the death of someone you love. Any and all of these things can cause us to fear and become despondent. Any of these can cause us to wonder, what is God doing? Where is he? Is he asleep? Why doesn't he help? Why doesn't he seem to care? Who then is this that I put my faith in? But Jesus says to you and to each of us, not chidingly, not to shame us, but as a loving father to a child, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Have you still no faith in me? Why do you doubt my care for you?" You see, when life overwhelms us, when our own sin overwhelms us, even when death itself overwhelms us, Jesus says to us, "Why are you so afraid? Who then is this? The one that even the wind and the seas obey, he is the one who holds you in his hand." Jesus has already dealt with the single most powerful storm in your life, the storm of sin that would blow each of us into hell. Jesus let that storm overwhelm him, not standing in the way of those who wanted him dead. They nailed him to a cross, and the sky turned black as the creation mourned the death of its creator. Who then is this that could calm the sea, heal the sick, even raise the dead, but wouldn't even save himself from a cross? It is Christ, your Savior. Our own sin is probably the least likely storm in our lives that we'll even see or notice or take care to consider. But it is the most deadly, eternally deadly. And the sea of your sinfulness God calmed once and for all. On the cross, in your baptism, he orders the devil to be still and to no longer torture your conscience, because sin is forgiven. As you turn in repentance, your sin is forgiven. The question we should be asking, really, then, who then is this that even forgives sin? It's the same Lord. He is our Savior. Though the sea was calmed that day, the disciples were not out of danger. This would not be the end of their struggles. This trial of faith was really nothing compared to what they would face. Each of the 12 would suffer on account of being followers of Christ. They would be mocked, ridiculed, thrown into jail, exiled, most of them even killed for what they believed. Stormy lives indeed. God allowed these storms. He allows storms in your life as well, because he knows that through them we learn to turn again to him, to come to him. When he seems to be sleeping, we come to him in prayer, because he is always there, ready to listen. Always there in the midst of life's darkest moments. When difficulties arise and we are tossed about, we must look to Christ for rescue. And it is through the suffering church, through the lives of suffering Christians, that the church bears witness to her suffering Lord. The one who died for your sin is the one you follow. He is the one who rose from the dead for you. Who then is this that can raise himself from the dead? The storms of this life will rage. Yet Jesus is bringing us to a calm harbor, an eternal peace, an eternal calm. Because of his resurrection, he is ferrying us home to the place where he is, to heaven, to eternal life. Scripture pictures heaven in Revelation 4, verse 6, as a great sea of glass, perfectly calm, perfectly smooth. There at last, all the restlessness of this life will cease, will subside, and we will bask in the glory of our Lord. Who then is this? Who is Jesus? He's the Creator. He's our God come down from heaven, born of the Virgin Mary, incarnate by the Holy Spirit, crucified under Pontius Pilate, suffered, buried, and risen. He is the ruler of wind and wave. He is the one who knows all of your storms. He's the one who forgives all of your sin by his blood. He is the one whom you will receive in the sacrament. He is the one who brings life. He is our Lord and our Savior. That's who he is. In the name of Jesus, amen.